Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Political operative Kevin Quinn wanted a guy named Joseph Nasalla to help a no-name candidate get on the ballot in the 2016 Illinois Democratic House primary to run against Madigan. So here's Madigan's guy asking somebody else to run against Madigan. Why would Madigan's forces want to put up a candidate against their own powerful guy? Ray Long asks. When Nasalla asked, right, so they say, Nasalla, help us out on this. So he says, he asked Quinn, why are we getting somebody to run against us? And he said he gave him, quote, a poker face. You can just see him looking at him, kind of deadpan, like, what, do I got to explain this to you? This is how we do things. At the time, Quinn, this Kevin Quinn guy, was a key part of the Madigan political organization. He's not anymore. Nasalla's account of what transpired in late 2015 emerged among new, never-before-seen depositions in a federal lawsuit. The lawsuit is alleging that Mike Madigan pulled off one of Chicago's oldest political tricks, putting sham candidates on the ballot to confuse voters and siphon support from a more formidable foe. In fact, that foe we're talking about, the guy that might have given Mike Madigan a little bit of a run, it was a little scary, was Jason Gonzalez, who was on our show afterwards and was angry and befuddled and just kind of throwing up his hands saying, yeah, that's what I was up against. But Tony Parayka, the former Cook County Board Commissioner, is handling the suit by Gonzalez, and he's contending that Madigan's team violated federal civil voting rights protections. They're seeking $2 million in damages. Tony Parayka is on the phone. Tony, it's John, and you're on WGN Radio. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon to you and your listeners.
That's my assessment of it, Tony. Jump in there. Do we got it about right, at least what your side alleges?
Yes, I think you have the essence of our allegation exactly right. What we are attempting to prove here, and we believe we have the evidence to prove, is that Mike Madigan and his underlings have engaged in a pattern of fraud, election fraud, placing of two, one female, one male, sham Hispanic candidates on the ballot. People who have no fund to do anything. They didn't even have a working phone number for their campaign, let alone raise money. Then Mike Madigan's people circulated all of their petitions, printed them, circulated them, bound them, and drove them to Springfield, Illinois, to file them in Springfield at the State Board of Election.
Can you prove that, Tony? Can you prove that?
Yes. I have. We took almost 60 depositions in this case of all the people involved up and down the chain, including Mike Madigan's deposition, which I took personally for roughly 5.5 hours, and it's available online. Anyone can Google Mike Madigan deposition and find that.
Pardon me, Tony, and what does Madigan say? Does he admit that, yes, they did all of this?
He doesn't know a thing about a thing. How dare you? But it's interesting. Here's a man who doesn't have a cell phone, never owned a computer, never owned a cell phone, never even had a fax machine, sends people to make phone calls for him. Just bizarre in 2019 that someone would behave in this such a squirrely way. Clearly he has a lot to hide. And initially, Mike Madigan and his 15 lawyers argued that, no, it's not true. We've never done that. We would never do that. Now that we have witnesses to prove exactly that, the trial has been scheduled for October 7th in front of Judge Matthew Kennelly at the Dirksen Building. They have changed their tune, and now their argument or defense is that, oh, this is just the First Amendment right. Everyone has a right to get on the ballot, run as a candidate. They don't really have to put up a strong campaign or any campaign. Everyone has a right under the First Amendment. All of a sudden, they're defending the First Amendment. I mean, what I find really bizarre, John, is that here in 2019, after 2 years of chasing down Russians who are engaging in fraud, election fraud in our campaigns, we have the Speaker of the House, the chairman of the Democratic Party of the state of Illinois, who is engaging in a pattern of election fraud, not only in the case of Jason Gonzalez, but in another case that we're handling with David Krupa, who had the temerity to run against Mike Madigan's alderman.
Yeah.
Marty Quinn, where they have engaged in a horrific pattern of fraud and going out there and getting 1,800 phony affidavits from people who allegedly withdrew their nominating signatures on the Krupa petition.
Okay, hold it right there, Tony. Parekh is on a phone line, and he is the attorney for Jason Gonzalez. Of course, you know Tony's name as well. Now he's representing Gonzalez. But just here's a sort of heads up to would-be criminals out there. If you minimize your digital footprint, if you don't have a fax machine, if you're not online, if you don't do Twitter, if you're not, if you don't have cell phone records, boy, Ed Burke could have used this advice.
Yes.
Then you know you can't incriminate yourself. There's nothing on you. You've got other people doing your work for you, and that's kind of clever that way. But suppose they had been transparent about it. Suppose they said, yes, this is what we're doing. And this guy who has no political ambition, whose name we're putting on the ballot, there's nothing against the law. But what if he did want to participate in the process? And for some insane reason, we wanted to help him. I don't, you know, see where they're breaking the law, helping somebody run against them. What's the violation there, Tony?
Well, the violation under the Civil Rights Act is that Jason Gonzalez, as a Hispanic male, is part of the protected class or classes under the Civil Rights Act. And what they have done to this Hispanic candidate who ran in the state representative district in the primary of 2016 is that they've diluted the vote with two more Hispanics, which has dried up his fundraising, which has siphoned off his volunteers, which have, you know, caused them to lose the election that he could have won.
Okay, but separate.
If this was a one-on-one case,
but,
one-on-one collection.
Okay, but suppose those other two Hispanic gentlemen or men, was it two?
It was one female and one male phony candidate.
Okay, suppose those people of their own volition wanted to run against Madigan and Gonzalez, and their names appeared because those people wanted it to be there. There's no violation of the law there, right?
Graciela Rodriguez, who was one of the candidates running against Madigan that they put up, had a Madigan sign in front of her house.
No, that's not the point. That's not the point. If she didn't.
Well,
if
who knows the candidate better than herself, though?
Well, exactly.
You guys, you're missing my point here, that you could have 1,000 Hispanic candidates on the ballot if 1,000 Hispanics wanted to run against Mike Madigan. There's nothing wrong about that, right?
It is wrong to put up people who have absolutely no desire or intent to run for office, and then do nothing to obtain blank petition signatures to circulate those signatures.
Okay.
To sign them. You know, there's an affidavit that, you know, of a candidacy that one signs. That's fraudulent. These people never got out of their house. They never lifted they've never made one phone call. They never asked anyone for money. They never attended any of the candidate forums. They never had a website. They never did any of the things that every candidate, no matter how nominal,
does. But then they're bad candidates. So too bad for them.
If they lied on the nominating petitions, okay, that's
it. Would not be against the law if these people did all of this themselves and then did nothing. But the fact is that Madigan and his underlings did everything for them. They were the ones who executed the whole fraudulent plan from step one to step 100.
Okay, hold
these
on.
People did not.
But even that's nasty politics. But if the signatures on the nominating petitions were legitimate, is what they did illegal?
Yes, because these people didn't know that the people that they were signing these nominating petitions for were phony, that they were just Madigan plants.
Oh, okay,
they were
wait a
shills.
Minute. Wait, well, all right, but that, you know, those people have to answer to that. That is, these sham candidates will have to say, yes, I'm a sham candidate. But mm-hmm. but you're saying that the violation here is on behalf of the people who signed those petitions, they were, in fact, voting for or endorsing with their signature a candidate that was not a legitimate candidate. That's where
That's
the violation
right.
takes place.
That's right. What I'm saying is that the entire voting population of that representative district was defrauded by having these two people who had no intent or desire to run and were all, both of them, put on the ballot by Madigan and his precinct captains just for the purpose of and with the intent to bamboozle the voters and ensure Mike Madigan's reelection.
Is there a history of this, Tony Pareca? I mean,
it's been happening for the last 100 years, but doesn't make it right.
No. Is there a history of a case like this being judged in your favor? Is there a history of they say, when this happens, we're going to award the plaintiff millions of dollars? You're seeking $2 million on behalf of your client.
Right, because that's what Jason Gonzalez and his donors spent on this election.
Has this happened before?
No, there is no precedent across the United States. We have searched across all 50 states. There's no precedent where any case like this or similar to these facts has been litigated to trial.
Yeah.
What happens is that most candidates, once they lose, they don't want to litigate anymore. They walk away, the case is dismissed, and that's it. Jason Gonzalez is the first a candidate who is now seeing this case through with our help and will have the case go to trial. We're currently briefing the motion for summary judgment that the Madigan, dozen lawyers have filed. But
Tony,
confident that they're going to lose and the judge will deny that motion because we have sufficient facts to buttress our claim and allegations.
Your client is Jason Gonzalez, who in 2016 ran against Mike Madigan. Do you remember what the vote total was? How close did Jason come?
Jason had, I believe, like 38% of the vote. Madigan, I think, had 62-63%, something like that. But the fact of the matter is that we will never know what the ultimate outcome of that race would have been had it been a one-on-one Madigan versus Gonzalez race. And that's exactly the reason Mike Madigan and his minions did what they did.
Still,
they
didn't
want to win fair and square.
Well,
they wanted to rig the race in their favor, and that's what they did.
Think about it, though. So with those shenanigans in play, they win by almost 2-1, a little less than that. But, I mean, that's a trouncing. And you're Mike Madigan. My God, if you are the epitome of reelectability in Illinois. And yet even that guy resorts to these sorts of creepy, unethical tactics. Well, there's no criminal offense here, right? I mean, this is a civil case.
There's plenty of criminal.
You don't get to answer that, Tony, but go ahead.
There's plenty of criminal activity here. If a Cook County state's attorney or the state's attorney general, neither one of them are going to move against Madigan because they need him, want him exactly where he's at, or the U.S. attorney, who is the only independent arbiter here, who does have the authority and discretion to indict Mike Madigan for this kind of activity and other activity. And I believe if you look at the lay of the land and the things that have happened here over the last certainly 6 months to a year, that Mike Madigan is definitely under the microscope by the U.S. Attorney's Office.
I haven't
heard
them prosecuting this case yet. But
you haven't heard it. That doesn't mean it won't happen.
Do I understand correctly that an activity could be bad, but an activity is even worse? I'm just pulling your leg there. Okay, so what's the next step then, Tony? What happens next in this case?
The next step is that we intend to defeat the summary judgment motion that Madigan's lawyers have filed. And then we intend to proceed to trial, whether it's in October or whenever Judge Cannelli decides to set or reset this case.
Well, we've reached out to the other side, and I hope they join us. Having heard your side and having had my own feelings even before you came on with us, when Jason was on with us last year, I hope you guys win. I hate this kind of crap. Like, just, you know, win, play fair, and, you know, let the people have as much information as possible. Maybe that's incumbent upon the voters to know what a sham candidate is and isn't. But I don't like this kind of politics. So I standing here right now, I hope you're successful.
John, what we intend to establish here by seeing this case through is to set a precedent that one cannot engage in this kind of fraud upon the electorate again and again and again, as Mike Madigan has done for decades. This has to stop, and I commend Jason Gonzalez for having the fortitude to see this case through.
I don't know if Madigan has radio. He's not real consumer electronics friendly, but if you do, Mike, we'd be happy to entertain you or your team. Tony Pareca represents the other side, Jason Gonzalez, on this sham candidate case. What a pleasure. Tony, join us again. Thanks for your time today.
The pleasure is mine. Thank you.
There he goes.